a great blessing to be here this morning, and we covered an interest in your prayer at the time that we stand before you. Enjoyed what's going on today thus far, the song service and your attendance here, Brother James, words of great instruction, great wisdom to us. There's a foundation that will never be destroyed. I trust we'll build on that foundation. And yes, it's great to see Brother Braden Ezell here this morning. What a blessing it is, and to see all of you. I saw something yesterday that I didn't think I would ever see. I didn't really see it, and I heard it. Saw it this morning when my power came back on. But I went out yesterday to charge my phone, went and sat in my car, and turned the radio on to a station out of Natchez, Mississippi, that carries LSU football. And late in the game, they've been gassed by the University of Missouri, and they were that far from the goal line and ran four plays, run two times, passed two times, and did not get into the end zone. I never didn't think I'd see that. LSU has been so dominant across the years. But the point I want to make to you is in the post-game conference, I continued to listen on the radio as I was charging my phone. One of the announcers there, and I won't call his name, I'm not being critical of him, but during the post-game comments, he had been a great defensive player at LSU in years past, and he talked about how their play was unacceptable on the defensive side of the ball. He said his greatest motivation when he played at LSU, I thought he was going to talk about that purple and gold tradition and the people who had played before. He said, my greatest inspiration and motivation for me when I was playing defense at LSU was that I wanted my daddy to be able to go to work on Monday with his head held high, and my mama to be able to go to church on Sunday morning with her head held high. If you came into church this morning with your head down because your team lost yesterday, shame on you. Get your head up. Get your head up. We're victorious here, dear friends, because the battle's already been fought. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has already fought this battle. And I've been thinking about some things in Scripture, and I trust that you will pray for me this morning. The time I stand before you, last week I tried to preach on some things over in John chapter 10 and John chapter 11. At the end of John chapter 10, I just want to review this just briefly and then get to the subjects on my mind today. But in John chapter 10, the Lord says something to this effect. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand, because I and my Father are one. As soon as he said that, they picked up stones to stone him. He said, for what, which works dost thou stonest me? And they said, well, we don't stone you for the works. We stone you because you're making yourself equal with God. And I paraphrase there a little bit. But as he did on several occasions, the Lord escaped from their sight. And he went out to a place called Perea. He went out across the Jordan River, about 20 miles northeast of where he was, and place where John the Baptist first preached, and he began to teach there, and a lot of people resorted unto him. He found a place of refuge, Brother James, away from those who wanted to stone him to death. And while he was there, they sent a messenger to him that his good friend Lazarus. Lazarus means God ruleth without help. Praise God that he rules without help this morning. He don't need our help, friends, but we can come to the sanctuary this morning with our heads held high, knowing that we're embraced in Romans 8:17, that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. They sent for him. I guess somewhat selfishly, these sisters, Mary and Martha, called for him to go get the master, but could tell him that the man that thou lovest, this certain man by the name of Lazarus, is sick. And the Lord said, let us go to Judea once again. Let us go to Judea once again. Immediately his disciples said, Lord, we just left there and they were going to stone you to death. Why do we go there again? And he complicated matters a little bit more because he said this. He said, Lazarus sleepeth. Let me go that I may awake him. So his disciples, I believe, thought, well, wait a minute now. We're going back to Judea so you can wake a man up to sleeping? He said, if a man's sleeping, he shall do well. You've heard me say many times before, when Karen first passed away and Brooke was 5 years old, one of the toughest parts of my day was waking Brooke up and getting her out of bed. I'd go in there and she'd say, Daddy, I'm up. I said, no, baby, you up. Your feet's got to be on the floor. I couldn't wake live folks up, friends. But there's a day coming when the Lord's going to wake up. All in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God, Brother Hunter, and they that hear shall live. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But he told him, he said, no, this sleep is not into death. But he did tell him, he said, told him plainly that Lazarus is dead. And they went back, there, and you remember the account. I'm not getting all that part. I don't have time for that today, but I want to talk to you. One more point I want to make about this. Remember, we give old Doubting Thomas a lot of grief, don't we? We're critical of him because when he said, you know, they told him that the Lord appeared unto us, and he said, you know, unless I put my finger in the print of the nails in his hand and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And the Lord appeared unto them again 8 days later, and he said, Lord, he said, come hither, Thomas. Come here, hither, Thomas, and put your finger into the print of the nails in my hand and thrust your hand into my side. He said, my Lord and my God. But this time Thomas said, the one that's called Didymus, which means twin, he said this. He said, let's go back with him, that we may die with him. And as you read that, it seems like he may be talking about, let us go die with Lazarus. He wasn't talking about that, I don't think. He was saying, let us go back. If it means we'll die with the Son of God there. If the Son of God says for you to do it, you ought to do it, dear friends. If he puts it in your heart, you ought to do those things that he's put on your heart. Come into the house. Come into his courts with thanksgiving, with praise, and lift up your voice in song to praise unto him, and know that you're a blood-bought heir of Jesus Christ, and one day heaven will be your home. But I want to go back this morning and talk to you from the book of Jeremiah for a little while. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. I've told you, you've heard me say recently, that one thing I encourage all of us to do, and I encourage you, the younger you can start, the better off you are, is to memorize verses of Scripture. To take them into memory and have them, you know, I think it's in Psalm 111, verse 9, maybe it says, I hid these things in my heart that I may not sin against thee. It's good to have these things. Let's talk about this, taking on the whole armor of God. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Take up the Word of God. Will help you quench those fiery darts of Satan that Brother James talked to us about this morning. But let's look at some of the verses in Jeremiah that you may have committed to memory. One is in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That's a lot of preaching right there. Brother James mentioned voting this morning. That verse right there ought to guide our voting process right there. And I'm going to leave that alone this morning. But before I formed thee in the womb, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth from the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah had been ordained as a prophet before he ever left the womb. Dear friends, understand in the old Baptist church, and backed up by thus saith the Lord, we understand that life begins at conception. Life begins at conception. Never forget that. Before I formed in the belly, I knew thee. What about Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people, here we go, one of those other for my people verses. We ought to pay attention to that. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. I love Jeremiah 6 and 16. That's one of my favorite verses too. Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, where is the good way, and walk therein. Seek out the old paths. I remember Brother Guy Hunt preaching on that very subject right here in this sacred place where I stand this morning. Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. There's a verse that's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that I see all over the country. It's one of the most popular verses, and the verse that I always hear comes from another book besides the 1611 translation of God's Word. It says, the other version says, for I know the plans I have for you. I remember Elder Randall Myers teaching us this, that the word plan is not in the Bible. Not one time. The word plan is not in the Bible. The Lord don't plan. He purposed it in His heart. He said, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, to give you a thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. We come to the end of a lot of things in life, and we have expectations. I really believe that the end of this life at the end of the life, the Lord is coming back to get us to like He promised that He would. I believe that this morning. I have great hope in that this morning. But the verse I'm going to talk to you this morning about it from Jeremiah is in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Jeremiah 12, 5. I sent a letter one time to Brother Braden, and since he'd been in the military, and I only once, and I apologize for that, brother. But I thought about this verse. I may have wrote this verse in there. Jeremiah 12, 5 says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they weary thee, how can thou contend with the horses? And if the land of peace wherein thou dwellest, they weary thee, how shalt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" Let me tell you, friends, things are going to get tough in this world. The Bible says that the man who's born of a woman, his days are few and full of trouble. I enjoy coming to the church early this morning. We don't have lunch to get to visit, and I miss that. That's one thing I miss is the fellowship with the saints of God. We talk about a lot of different things earlier before church, and some of it was about sports this morning. Some of it about a hole in one I heard about. Some of it about a race that some of you were in this week. I love things with endurance. I thought about when Brother Braden was going through the crucible. That's probably things he can't even tell us about. I can't imagine pushing yourself to that limit. I remember one time when I was in high school, and I want to leave sports out of the church. I want to focus upon the things of God. But I mentioned this morning. And I've said before, I ran a 10-kilometer race one time as a father. I've ran willingly. And I said, if I run any further than that, it's something I have to have wheels on it. And I have been 54 miles on a bike race before, but not on my feet. 6 miles is the limit, and I don't know if I can do that now. But no, we were in high school, and we weren't very good. We played hard. There was 2 seniors, no juniors. There's some good sophomores, good freshmen. The freshmen and eighth graders won state championship after they got us out of the way. But we lost to a team one night that was kind of known for losing. They never had much of a winning history, but they were good at times this year. That particular year, they had a pretty good nucleus of teams. They had a boy moved in from Chicago, Illinois, and a boy moved in from Detroit, Michigan. They beat us 93-52. I will never forget that. I don't believe as long as I live. Our coach came in the next day, and he said a few simple words. He said, Y'all embarrassed me your last time. We ran 93 laps, one for every point that they scored. Then we went through kind of drills, and we did all kind of things. And I mean, it was a humid day in the middle of the winter. And due to sweat and humidity, the court began sweating so bad after we kept running and ran line drills. And at the end of practice, some people call them suicides. Brother Jamie, I never call them suicides, but that may affect somebody. That brings emotional things to other people. I call them line drills. But we began to run those, and the court was so slippery we couldn't even stand up, and he had to stop practice. Praise God for humidity. That's one time I was thankful for it. But friends, I'm going to tell you, things are going to get tough in this life, but nobody had it like Jeremiah. Nobody had it like Jeremiah. He was ordained as a prophet from the womb, and they told him in Scripture time and again, you'll find things like, they're not going to hearken unto you. They're not going to listen to you. You're going to call. And by the way, the next time we beat that team, just for the set the record straight, we didn't embarrass our coach again that season. I hope we didn't. But he said, you're going to call them and they're not going to answer. So these people, we're talking about the Lord's people here. We're talking about 7 years of Babylonian captivity. There was a great siege of Jerusalem, and they were taken into Babylonian captivity. You remember a time when they were over there on the rivers of Babylon? They said they sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. And the people who took us captive required of us mirth. They said, man, put a smile on your face and sing us one of the old songs of Zion. And they said, how can we sing the old songs of Zion in a strange land? But Jeremiah had it tough, dear friends. He had it tough. They told him that they built a high altar in Tophet in the valley of Hinnom to cause their sons and daughters to walk through the fire, to pass through the fire. They sacrificed their living children. Can the Lord's people fall that low? They did here, friends, and I think we can do it again. As a matter of fact, in Scripture it says here, that talks about in this passage that the harvest is already past. The harvest is already past. I don't know. I pray not. But I wonder at times if we've seen the best days of the United States of America. If they're in our rearview mirror, I pray not. I pray that there will be whatever. I don't know. I've got to be careful saying this. But maybe whatever it takes, that there will be revival in Zion again. That this still will matter to us. That we will come to the Lord's house and praise His name for all that He's done for us. Friends, we are blessed people this morning. I've said this many times before. There are some downsides to preaching, Brother James, but one of the best sides is to stand here and see the view that I see. Brother James and I are the only one that has seen all this morning, and what a blessing it is to see so many of the Lord's children come and worship His holy name. And we thank God for your presence this morning. But you know, it says the harvest is already past. It asks there, is there no balm in Gilead? They mentioned the phrase in this book, perpetual backsliding. I tell you this morning that one of the verses said they have committed two evils. They've forsaken the fountain of living waters and have hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. Jeremiah faced great adversity. Great adversity. In Jeremiah chapter 20, read with me in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 1. Now Pashur, the son of Immer the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet. And as you read this, if you read commentaries, most of them tend to believe that he was, when he said he was smote, that means he was beaten. And most Bible commentaries I've read on this says that they thought he was probably beaten 39 times with a whip across his back. And then he was put in the stocks. Have you ever been in the stocks? I've been in the stocks in Boston, Massachusetts one time for fun and for a photo session. That was it. I would hate to be there and be a public spectacle. I'd hate to be there after I'd had 39 lashes across my back. And I was an embarrassment to myself and to the people around me. So the pastor smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. Pashur means freedom. Magor-Missabib means terror on every side. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies. And thine enemies shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the land of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and they shall slay them with the sword. He was put into stock here, the high stocks of Benjamin here in chapter 20. In chapter 26, he was pronounced worthy of death. He was sentenced to death, basically. Babylon said, this man has prophesied against the city of Jerusalem and is worthy of death. In Jeremiah 36, they took the scroll that he had, the word of the prophet Jeremiah, great truths from God's word. They took it. A man by the name of Jehudi read it. And as he read it in the presence of the king, the Bible says he took a penknife and he took three or four of those pages, those leaves, And he split them with a knife. And then he threw the word of Jeremiah into the fire that was there at the hearth where they were. Friends, he was beaten. He was put into stocks. The people wouldn't listen to him. The Bible says that they walked after other gods. They walked after fleshly desires. The Bible says they refused to receive instruction. I can't imagine how Brother James is your pastor would continue to come every Sunday if from the time you left this church until you came here again, you lived just the way of this world. That you've been all kind of evil and mischief. I don't know how you do it, Brother James. But it's encouragement to see people The reason that we try to preach to the Lord's people is to give glory and honor to God and to help you with instruction that you might become more profitable in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is a blessing, the author and finisher of our faith and the source of all blessings that we have upon the earth. Oh, we're so indebted to Him. We're so indebted to Him. You heard me say many times before, when I stand before you, with one who, medically speaking, should be in the cemetery this morning because of a medical condition that only 10% survive if they're in the hospital when it happens. Brother Wayne Myers used to refer to us being spared monuments of His love. That's what we are this morning. And we all have a role to play. We all have something to do, not to help populate heaven, but to let our light so shine that others will see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Is your light shining today? I admire Jeremiah. Great resistance. They're not going to hearken to you. They're not going to listen to you. They involved in perpetual backsliding. They're not going to listen. You know, I tell you about him being beaten and being smote and put in the stocks. I tell you about him tearing up the scrolls that he had. In Jeremiah chapter 38, the Bible says they took a cords and they cast him down into the dungeon where there was no water, but there was mire. There was a muddy bog there. And he sunk into the mire. And of course, a eunuch was instrumental in saving him and reporting it. But it was the Lord that saved him, the Lord that brought him out of that mire. He said one time, there was one that He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. In Jeremiah chapter 43, they said, "Thou speakest falsely." They called him a liar. Jeremiah faced great resistance, dear friends, in the Scripture. How did he get through all that? One way he got through it was prayer. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 15. Jeremiah 15 and 15, he says, "Lord, remember me. Visit me and revenge me of my persecutors." Lord, remember me. Visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. In another place in Scripture, in Jeremiah chapter 17, he says something to this effect, "Lord, heal me and I will be healed. Lord, save me, and I will be saved, for Thou art my praise." For Thou art my praise. Many times in life, you're going to think that this world is against you. The odds are insurmountable. It seems like there's no way out. I was at a game last Thursday night. I didn't know about this until after the game. Because let's just say things didn't go our way. Since I retired, I've resumed one activity with the school, and that's PA announcer for Bobcat football. They want me to come back and do my old job that I used to do. And I've come back, and it's more fun on nights when you win than nights when you don't. But it was supposed to be Friday night, but because of the hurricane moving in, they moved the game to Thursday night. We were playing Weston, and Weston is loaded. If we'd got all the players on the field and at the goal line and tell them to run to the 40 or run to the 60 or run to the other end of the field, the first 12 finishers, probably 12 of them would have been from Weston, or at least 11 of them would have been from Weston. They were fast. And one kid I didn't know about that was playing, their coach posted this on Facebook. Some of you may have seen this. I don't know. Last March, him and his brother were in a car wreck and his brother got killed. He was broken up badly. Didn't know if he'd ever play sports again. But he got better and got better. They evaluated him about a week or so back and said, "Man, you've made tremendous progress. Tremendous progress." He said, "But there's one thing we found that we didn't detect initially, and that's a torn ACL. And we're going to do surgery on you this past Friday." He said, "I'd rather wait to the end of the season, but if that's what you think, that's what we'll need to go ahead and do." But they moved the game to Thursday, and he came to the coach and said, "Coach, I got to have surgery tomorrow, but I want to play tonight. He said, I'm going to play. He said, yeah, you're going to play. The kid caught an 8-yard route on 8-yard pass on a hitch route in the game. A little bit later, he ran a slant route and caught a 60-yard touchdown pass. He didn't like his ACL was bothering him too bad. He could run really fast. But think about what he's endured. But we think about the greatest example, whether it be Thomas said, Lord, we'll go back to Jerusalem with you. If it means we're going to die with you, we'll go back. You're going to find great adversity in this world. Brother Ricky Harker said, if you hadn't suffered, you hadn't lived long enough. It's coming, dear friends. The other day I was with a good friend of mine who is always optimistic and always upbeat. And he told me, he said, right now, I'm in a low place. I'm in a low place. This morning you have been in a low place. But I encourage you to hold your head high. You know, Philippians 4:13 says, with Christ we can do everything. I can do all things. I think it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. With Christ, we can do all things, dear friends. I think about Jeremiah and the great adversity that he faced. I want to read one thing in closing this morning, though, in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. You think Jeremiah felt defeated? I tell you this morning, before the Lord formed him in the belly, he knew him. And before he came forth from the womb, he sanctified him and ordained him as a prophet unto the nations. There was times in Scripture, you know, there were times if you read Jeremiah where he said, on one occasion, Brother James, he said he wished he'd have died in his mother's womb. He said, I wish my mother's womb would have been my grave. I wish I'd never seen the light of day. He said, you know, I was born as a woe unto me and my mother. I was born as a point of, I didn't say a point, but that's the word that comes to me right now, a point of strife and a point of contention to the whole world. In other words, he acted like he had nobody against him. Matter of fact, he talked about his loneliness in Scripture. He said, I sat alone in the assembly. He said, I was alone. There was none to fight with me, none to go with me. And look what he said here in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I remember one time at Antioch Church years ago, they talked about ordaining me as a deacon, which they did. And Brother Melvin began to talk about it, I made a statement, if they try to ordain me as a deacon, I'm not going to go back to church. That didn't turn out. They ordained me as a deacon and they wasn't satisfied there. They ordained me as a minister. Yeah, they were talking about this morning. Poor Brother James ran 10 miles and was maybe getting credit for it, really. He was talking about how his wife and sister-in-law looked so fresh at the end of the run and he struggled to the finish line. I hadn't seen that, Brother James. I said, Brother James, the Bible says run your race with patience. He said, that's exactly right. Run your race with patience. But you got a race to run. And I'm going to tell you, friends, it's going to get tough. Brother Braden, I can't imagine what you've been through. You left here a young man. You came back here a man. We appreciate sacrifice. Separation from the family and those you love. I've never been in the military. I was in a job one time in the Gulf of Mexico where I was out on the water for days on end during college, during the summers. And when we worked during shrimp season, I didn't know what day of the week it was. I said, some days I promise I couldn't tell you what day it was. It was all the same during shrimp season. You just shrimp while you can. You go in to unload and to get ice and go back. I couldn't tell you what day of the week it was. Have you ever been in a place where you did not know what day of the week it was? That's a strange feeling. But there was times when I was on that shrimp boat that I knew what day it was. I knew it was Sunday. I knew what Sunday it was. I was trying to make money to go to college. But my heart longed to be at Union Church or Antioch Church in fellowship with the saints of God to receive the blessings that come by coming and worshiping and being with the Lord's people at the appointed time. Then he said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I'll tell you, before I'd run away from home before, when I was a little boy, I didn't stay gone long because I got hungry. And I needed to go make amends with my family. I didn't have any other option. I didn't have anywhere else to go. And when adversity comes, you have a place to go. You have a place to go. Matter of fact, Peter, that old ignorant, unlearned fisherman, told us that cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Whatever is bothering you today, you may feel alone. You may think, I'm not going to mention his name anymore. I'm not going to speak in his name anymore. I pray you're not at that point. Oh, I pray you're not there. Because then if it is, I hope you're just like Jeremiah. I hope his word is like fire shut up in your bones. And you won't be able to stay. You won't be able to stay where you are. And I trust that this morning, if this is of any benefit to you, you give the Lord all praise, honor, and glory for his due him. Let's continue to labor in the kingdom. Union Church has been a city on a hill that cannot be hid. If it's going to be that 50 years from now, it's going to come through the blessings of the Lord and the faithful commitment of you young people to the congregation of the saints. Our labors of love in the Lord are not in vain. I trust this morning that you will seek him, that you will look to him, look to the hills from which comes all your help. And the Lord, I know, will bless you. He's blessed me too many times for it to be coincidence. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this morning.